Our text this morning will be Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. I'd like for us to look at the verses 1 through 15 for the first message, and then verses 16 through 31 for the second message. I've titled the message, A King and the King. So I'd like for us to read Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 31. Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold, the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against a candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were stoned. Now the queen, by the reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation thereof." Daniel chapter 5, verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that thy spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubt. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy reward to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Let me give you a little background. This city of Babylon was something, from what I could gather, it had two walls surrounding it for protection. One of the walls was 25 feet thick and 40 to 50 miles around in a form of a square. The top of the wall was wide enough that multiple chariots could be driven across at the same time. The reason I brought that to our attention is this man, Belshazzar, is putting his faith, putting his security in those man-made walls of defense. This is one of the first things that we read of that Cain did. And he, Cain, built a city, and it probably had walls around it, for he feared for his life. At that very moment, outside the walls of Babylon, the Medes and the Persians were besieging this city. And here we find Belshazzar, the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's acting as if nothing is happening, as if he was untouchable, as if he was immortal. The enemy is right outside his door. Death and eternity are right outside the walls. And in his temporary wealth and health, in his pride, arrogance, and ignorance, in his false sense of security and abundant provisions, he pays them no never mind. I'm king here, and nobody can touch me. What a picture of man left to himself. He reminds me of those in Noah's time, and he reminds me of men and women of today. Listen to Matthew chapter 24, verses 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. No thought of eternity. No thoughts on everlasting state of their own souls. Just living for today. This only account of Belshazzar depicts him as a bold offender, intemperate, blasphemous, and having a shameless sense of lewdness. This man's conduct is extremely bad in the light of national affairs, as we'll see. Instead of caring for his empire, Belshazzar gives himself over to sensual pleasures. This man would not be restrained in his debauchery, even in a time of national peril. So let's begin reading back in verses 1 and 2, Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold, the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Would a man be so foolish as to publicly insult the King of Heaven? Would a man, a mere worm, actually raise his hand in contempt against the living God? Listen to the definition of contempt. The feeling that a person or thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving of scorn. Belshazzar has not only contempt for God, but also for God's word and God's people, and as we'll see a little later, in how he addresses Daniel. But he also has contempt for God's promises to his people. God promises people that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And that time is drawing to a close. Some believe that Belshazzar knew of this promise of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Starting in verse 8. Jeremiah 25, starting in verse 8. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. I just wanted you to see the Lord's word in this promise. Remember what Pharaoh said to Moses? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Belshazzar and Pharaoh are of the same mold. They think the majesty on high is likened to the gods of their imaginations. Pharaoh had to learn a hard lesson, and now it's Belshazzar's turn. Let's read on, verses 3 and 4. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. So what is so special about these vessels? Well, they were taken out of the temple, out of the house of the living God. All these vessels were holy in their institution and consecrated to holy uses. These vessels were dedicated to God in His honor. These vessels were used to approach unto God's presence. And when God's chosen men went into the temple and performed any holy duty, these vessels were used. This was plainly an act of defiance, thought of to insult the God whose temple had stood at Jerusalem. But why single out Jehovah? As we've seen, it's almost been 70 years since the temple had been destroyed. Belshazzar had heard the truth about the one true God. And sinful men are perturbed by the truth. They don't like it. It's unsettling to them. But we also see in these verses that Daniel makes mention of Belshazzar's wives and concubines, because the presence of these women was not normally tolerated at these feasts. These women were usually kept in strict seclusion. This is to show us that Belshazzar's degeneracy is running rampant. It's spreading unchecked. And like King Ahasuerus in Esther's time, calling for Vashti, the king just wants to show off what is his to his drunken buddies. Man's hidden depths of iniquity stir up the bases of passions when they face God. Everything Belshazzar has, the living God has given him. Everything. But here we see this man committing an act of arrogant defiance against the majesty on high. As it were, to challenge our dear Lord and Savior to avenge his honor. What a horrid act of rebellion. And as I had mentioned earlier, this was a public insult to the King of heaven and earth. Belshazzar is only exposing what is in his heart. But they don't stop there. With these vessels of God in their hands, wet with their saliva, they praise the gods of their imagination. They raise their hands in a toast and utter contempt against God. Can you imagine him drunk, holding one of God's vessels and blubbering? Where is now the God of the Hebrews? Laughing. And in verse 4, we see that they praise the imaginary gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. What a picture of the utter, total depravity of man. Here we see man worshiping creation instead of the Creator, the things of the earth. Listen to Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Nothing has changed. Men worshiping the metals and materials of this world is a result of an age of materialism and money worship, much like today. Men prefer demons to deity, and stones and stumps to a savior. Verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So we see Belshazzar raised his hand, his fist, in contempt against the majesty on high. And in that same hour, when Belshazzar's iniquity was full, we see God raises his finger against Belshazzar. No thunder, no lightning, no earthquake, just God's written word. That must have been something to see. I bet Belshazzar's jaw dropped into his lap. We don't know for sure, but some believe that this candlestick may have been from God's temple also. And that's why God wrote beside it, to show Belshazzar that the rebuke was directed against the misuse, the violation of God's vessels, and against God himself. But we do know this, that God puts his word where it could be seen. So I ask a question, why the wall? Why not a table or the floor or the ceiling? Why the wall? In Belshazzar's time, from what I could gather, kings would write great things about themselves on their palace walls. Their victories, exploits, all to remind all the spectators, all that passed by, of their greatness. And here we see our God writes on top of it, words of eternal wrath. Let me give you a few verses from Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 11 says, "Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord." What vengeance is that? The vengeance of his temple. Verse 39 in chapter 51 of Jeremiah says, "In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep, a never-ending, a never-changing sleep, and not wake, saith the Lord." And in verse 57, "And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts." Well, may our Lord ever be reverenced and feared. Only by grace are we not left in a perpetual sleep. So why would our Lord only expose his hand and not his complete persons? I believe there are several reasons. First, anything more than his hand would only have been a distraction and drawn away attention from his written word. Secondly, our Lord only reveals himself to his children. No one else gets that privilege, especially those that despise him. And thirdly, since Belshazzar wants to praise the things of his vile imagination, so we see God leaves him with his vile imagination to think of all sorts of beings Men who do not fear God fear everything else. God and our God knows exactly what puts fear into a man's heart. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." Verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and then his knees smote one against another. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Demons tremble in his presence. And here we see the proud worm shaking in fear, shaking in terror. Some believe that Belshazzar was so scared that he became incontinent, that he wet himself like an infant. A wave of fear has swept over him. His thoughts now trouble him. Think with me for a minute. What is he so scared of? As we're going to see in the next verse, he doesn't know what the written word says. He don't know what the meaning of it is. He doesn't know if those words proclaim good or bad. It's because anguish and distress come first within the conscience of the ungodly. They think the worst. Like Belshazzar and his princes, wives and concubines, from the highest in society to the lowest, men with one consent depart from the living God. They turn their backs to him and not their faces. But our Lord doesn't leave himself without a witness. Our Lord has many ways to utter his voice and to show his hand. He may use the forces of nature, a flood, a storm, a drought. It's by his hand that these events come to pass. Each day and night proclaim there is a God. There is no nationality or language that hasn't seen the hand of God in creation. And this is what I'd like for us to see. Even where its only effect is to drive the rebellious, the Belshazzars, to superstitious observances, as we'll see in a minute, it has been seen and the superstitious, as all men are by nature, are still accountable. Even though they're superstitious, they're still held in account by our God. Even more accountable are these men and women who, through God's prophets and apostles and preachers, have heard the gospel of God's free grace in Christ. Listen to Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. This is our Lord speaking. "And whosoever shall not receive you," speaking to his apostles, "nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." These things sound in a man's conscience. So whether men obey the call or disobey, they are secretly conscious that the call has reached them and are left without excuse. Let me show you that. Turn with me to a sobering chapter in God's Word. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. So we'll start in verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1. Starting in verse 22. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. because I have called and you've refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their way and be filled with their own devices. Verses 7 through 9. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Our great God has shined a light on his written word for this man to see. And does he cry out to God for mercy? No. Does he cry out in repentance? No. He cried aloud for those so-called wise men, false prophets, workers of witchcraft, blind men leading blind men, those that look at stars and tell you superstitious lies, those that read God's word and have no idea what it says. No different than today's false prophets, no different from today's preachers. They tell you God loves everybody. No, God loves his bride, the elect. They tell you it's your will that saves you. No, it's the will of God that saves you. They tell you that it's you believing that makes the work of God effectual. No, it's God's Spirit in you, enabling you to believe. Ye must be born again. It's by his quickening spirit. Jehovah, the triune God, gets all the glory for saving a man's soul from eternal death. There will be no glorying in his sight. You see these false prophets? They want you to rob God of his glory. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I believe this text of scripture describes these false prophets, these wise men of Babylon. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. I don't know why Belshazzar didn't cry aloud to the gods he had just praised. You would have thought he would have at least prayed to them first, being that they are such great gods and all. It would not have done him any good, but you would have thought that he would at least tried. This brought to remembrance the prophet of Baal against Elijah. Listen to 1 Kings 18, verses 26 through 29. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. What an awful place to be found in a state of fear and not have our Lord to call out to for help. Listen to what David said, Psalms 138. I will praise thee, the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with my whole heart before the gods, in the face of and in contempt of all imaginary rival deities, all false gods, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, why would David do this? Verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with the strength in my soul. Children of God, I do not know what is on everybody's heart this morning. But our Lord does. And he loves you. And he hears you. And he's able to take care of you and all your needs. May you take comfort in that. Now verses 10 through 12. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. Out of all of Belshazzar's kingdom, our Lord sends him his grandmother. And this is a man only a grandmother can love. But as we can see, Belshazzar has respect for her. She allowed him, she's allowed into the banquet hall, house, and she's allowed to speak. And as we are about to see, he listens to her advice. Our Lord knows who to use to get our attention. As Belshazzar, grandmother, pointed him to Daniel, you can probably remember who first pointed you to Christ. As for me personally, it was my mother. As far back as I can remember, she was always pointing me to Christ. And if I read 2 Timothy right, it sounds to me that it was Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice that pointed him to Christ. Thanks be to God for these precious souls that point us to him. As the Lord will enable me, I want us not only to see Daniel, but more importantly, the God of Daniel as we continue. Do you remember what Mary, the mother of our Lord, said to the servants at the wedding feast? His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he, Christ, saith unto you, do it. She knew he had an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding. There is nobody in Belshazzar's kingdom like Daniel. And there is nobody in God's kingdom like Christ. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Our God taught Belshazzar's grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar, that. Look back with me to Daniel chapter 4. Turn back one chapter to Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? But who in God's kingdom had the Spirit without measure? None but Christ. Listen to a few verses. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the spirit of measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hands. For in him, in Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ our Lord can receive no increase of being. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our Lord not only is light, but he's the one who gives light, understanding, and wisdom to his people. Luke chapter 24, verse 45 tells us, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. If you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins shall be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So how did the disciples have understanding of these hard sentences and dissolvings of doubt? The same way you and I have understanding. If you would, the same chapter, look at verse 33, Mark chapter 4, verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. We can't even glory in anything we know in God's word. He gets the glory for that too. He's the one that opens up our understanding. Verses 13 through 15, back to our text. Daniel chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of God of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and an excellent spirit is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. For whatever reason, Daniel has for some time lived in obscurity. For the most part, he's been overlooked, and nobody has taken any notice of him since Nebuchadnezzar. And here at 80 years of age, by the providence of the living God, he is called into the courts of this vile king. Daniel has been raised up like Queen Esther for such a time as this. I wanted to bring this to our attention. This man, Daniel, has been in captivity most of his life. He was taken into captivity as a child. And every time we see him, he's bowing to the will of his God. And what a blessed state to be in. He faithfully served his God in this evil kingdom. May our Lord and Savior enable you and me to do the same. As with Daniel, our Lord lived in obscurity for most of his life also. Most of what we know of our Lord is from the age of 30 to his death. And he was ever about his Father's will too, and always in subjection to the Father. Even King Belshazzar's response to Daniel reminded me of how our Lord was responded to when he started his public ministry. With an air of haughtiness and with an air of arrogance and superiority. Art thou Daniel? Trying to belittle him, reminding him that he's a Jewish captive. Remember what they said of our Lord? Can any good thing come from Judah? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Listen to Luke chapter 22, verses 66 through 70. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him in their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, and let me know. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. In the next chapter, Pilate more or less asked the same thing of our Lord, same question. Art thou the King of the Jews? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 71. I want us to see who our Lord is to his children. Psalm 71. beginning in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praises and with thy honor all the day. As we just read, our Lord is our all. And I pray our Lord enable us to see that in the second message. So let's stop here and we'll pick back up in verse 16 for the second message.